is on.
Introducing Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm super excited for my guest today. I have Miss Janet Tonkins. She's known as the Real Estate Diva. She's been investing in Baltimore and New Jersey for a number of years, so I'm excited to talk about all the projects that she's got going on. But first and foremost, Miss Tonkins, how are you?
I am truly blessed. I'm so very grateful to be on your show this morning or this afternoon. So thank you for having me on, Jessica, and I'm looking forward.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. So let's jump right in. How did you first get started in real estate?
Oh, back in 1987, and I want you guys to hear this, in 1987, my husband and I had saved for our own home. And one of the things that we did, and we started saving from the moment we started dating, we would put money in a cookie jar just for our date nights. Mm-hmm. We also wanted to go, because we come from an urban area, we were very avid readers of Fortune magazine, of Money magazine, of Inc. magazine, even back in those days. And we wanted to know how the other races made their wealth. So when we read everything, what we read was that most wealth came from assets. Mm-hmm. And those assets were owning real estate. Because at that one point, my husband didn't even want to buy purchase a home. But we decided then that we wanted to be different. So we set out to buy our first home in 1987. Now, we did not want to buy a multifamily or a duplex at that time. We were looking at a single family property.
Right.
So we went to a friend who had an attorney. And the attorney said, you know, we'd like to sell our home. My nephew really wants to buy it, but we don't think he can qualify for the mortgage. So why don't you come and take a look at the property? We did. We absolutely fell in love with the property. He says, if you really want it, then we don't have to fill out any paperwork today. What I'll do is I'll give you a call next week, and then we can fill out all the paperwork and we do our due diligence and all of those things. So next week comes, I don't hear from him.
Mm.
2 weeks pass, and I don't hear from him. He finally goes back to the mutual friend and says, well, tell them we really did sell it to our nephew. He came up with some down payment money and so forth. I'm in tears.
Mm.
So what happens is he says to the mutual friend, well, I do have a client that wants to get rid of a property. It's a 3-unit property. It's $90,000. Ask them if they'd like to take a look at it. So begrudgingly, I said to my husband, well, at least we can go take a look at it. So we did. It was on the corner of Broadway and 33rd Street. It was a 3-family property. It had 7 rooms on the first floor with 3 bedrooms, 7 rooms on the second floor with 3 bedrooms, with which we wind up taking, 4 rooms on the third floor with 2 bedrooms, 5 finished rooms in the basement, plus a bar and a kitchen.
Mm.
So for $90,000, that was a no-brainer for us. We had saved 20% down. Now, Paterson, New Jersey is an urban area, about 15 minutes from New York City. But because it was an urban area and we were first-time home buyers, remember I said we saved 20%, but we only had to put 4% down. Mm-hmm. And then they paid all of our closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to hear what the interest rates are. Interest rates were at 9%, okay, yep, for $90,000. But we took that one property. We had the first floor tenant and third floor tenant. We didn't have to pay a mortgage because they paid our mortgage. And today, that would be called house hacking. Yep. And many of my students is what I tell them, this is an excellent way for you to actually get into real estate investing. We leveraged that one property We refinanced and cashed out over five times.
Mm.
Remember, $90,000 each and every time. We would pay off all of our debt each time we refinanced. We were able to, because we saved 20%, we took that other 15%, remember I told you that we saved, to buy and bought three more duplexes that very same year. Yes. So when we left Patterson, which we left Patterson and moved to Baltimore in 2001, we had eight multifamily properties this one time. Now, this one property in 1987, we moved to Baltimore in 2001, sold it in 2005 for $415,000. How much did I say I paid for it?
$90,000.
So we gave the seller help. We gave the seller $15,000, plus we paid for a new furnace at $3,000. Mm-hmm. And still made over a $250,000 profit.
Wow.
So where else can you do that other than real estate? So as of course, you know, once we did that, and with the realization that our mortgages were being paid, this was a way to go for us. And we never really wanted to work for anybody else. But although we both of us had really high salary corporate jobs. I come from Verizon. I did 35 years with Verizon. Started as a telephone operator and worked my way up to middle management. My husband was the business development director for the city of Patterson. He ran Section 8, the planning board, and so forth. But those same houses have turned into over 100 single-family and multi-unit properties on our residential side in Patterson, New Jersey, Baltimore, Maryland, and Atlanta, Georgia. And so what I implore young people to do is to get into real estate, because you look at your McDonald's, you look at your Burger King, you look at all of the other companies as well. The food is there, it's tangible. But the way that they really get their net worth from is from the assets. And yes. McDonald's has an asset building machine. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways on the way to wealth is through real estate. And not only is it the way to wealth, but it's a way of serving your own. Mm-hmm. And then we've been able to change not only the trajectory of our immediate family life. Our baby brother is in the business with us. He has about 50 properties in Atlanta. Himself. My sister has gotten her first home. She moved from Patterson to Baltimore. She has her first home, and she does all of our turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to get our family members in Atlanta. What we do is we employ family members as well and get them started and into the business. So I'm also a hard money lender. I loan money. I'm a private money lender as well. I loan money to at least for my students to purchase their first and second homes.
Amazing. You came out the gate swinging here. I love that story, especially the intention. Like you said, when you were dating, you know, made the plan that we're going to go do this together and buy real estate and then keep rinsing and repeating basically
absolutely.
Several properties later. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me backtrack. When you started in New Jersey and then you eventually went to Baltimore, what made you guys want to move down to Baltimore?
Baltimore was not the location. My son graduated from high school in 2000, and he was the last of the three children that we had.
Mm-hmm.
So Patterson is a town unlike any other. Even today,
mm-hmm.
the AIM is very low in Patterson. And the only thing that they can see is drug addicts, drug dealers making the money. As a matter of fact, one of the city officials back in, I think, 82, my husband bought a Corvette, and our property was that Patterson property was a corner property.
Mm-hmm.
So even one of the city officials said, well, what's someone doing selling drugs?
Mm.
So that's the mindset
right.
of people here in Patterson. And I'm in Patterson today because I have properties as a matter of fact, and we're doing a very large project here in Patterson. But we said we had to get out of here because the ceiling was set so low for us. We actually wanted to go to Raleigh, North Carolina. So my husband interviewed for, and we were open. My husband interviewed for a position with Disney for business development. He interviewed in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he interviewed in Raleigh. And that's where we really wanted to go, in Raleigh. But I did strike duty as a management employee in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And so I happened to be there, and a young lady who had haircut short like mine, she said, "Oh, I love your hairstyle." And the other thing that I liked about them, in the cafeteria, in the Verizon cafeteria, everybody prayed before they ate. So I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm in the Bible Belt." So I absolutely love it. Everybody was just so friendly. So I told the young lady, I said, "You know, I could move here." I said, "But my husband would need to find something, because my territory was from Maine to Virginia. So all I would have to do is just find the spot." And so she said, "Well, what does your husband do?" I said, he's the executive director of business development for the city of Patterson. She said, "Well, bring me his resume." I said, "Well, I can do better than that. He's here with me. So if you'd like to meet him, we can do that." So I had him come to my office. We had lunch with her on a Thursday. And I want you to hear this. That was Thursday. Remember, I just met her the day before. She had my husband and I, with a catered lunch with the mayor of Baltimore City, with the state assemblyman of the state of Maryland, and some other officials. And so that's what I absolutely loved. I have to say, it's not utopia in Baltimore, but we as African-Americans, we actually stick together more so than I would see. Right. And I would say that from even New Jersey and even New York.
Right.
The African-Americans really, really stick together. And she was also an alumna of Morgan State, which my son attended Morgan State. And that's all you had to say. And that opened up the floodgates for us. And within 6 months time frame, my husband was the Mayor O'Malley was his first business development director. And what O'Malley did is he set that specifically for an African-American. And my husband was the first African-American in that position. So, and let me tell you, that was the absolutely best move that we could ever have made. Because there are so many African-American millionaires in the MDVW area that you can see, touch, feel. Even today here in Patterson, there's only two African-American doctors here. I went to Baltimore, I mean, medical doctors, CPAs, accountants, engineers, they're a dime a dozen there. And because of my husband's position, we were able to meet many Black African-American millionaires there as well.
Absolutely. It seems like your steps have been ordered in so many instances.
It absolutely. And then we didn't know anybody. I remember we didn't know a soul.
Yep.
I'd be willing to follow God's lead. So you never know where he's going to lead you. And you have to be open for any and every opportunity.
Absolutely. So what have you seen from the progression of the real estate market in Baltimore when you guys first started investing in the early 2000s up until now?
Well, in the early 2000s, and remember, we moved there in 2001, and we had the properties here. So what happened in 2001 is we bought two brownstones in the Reservoir Hill. Mm-hmm. I had not done my due diligence, though. I mean, because the rents in New Jersey were $1,000, and when we bought those properties, the rents were, they were paying like $200 and $300.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the great thing there was, and it still is, in New Jersey, we have rent control. In Baltimore City, there is no rent control. So
also,
we were able.
Taxes in New Jersey are super higher.
When I left, talk about taxes. When I left in 2001, the taxes on my own home was $12,000.
Wow.
A year. So, you know, that's $200 or $300 or more just in taxes alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought two brownstones for $90,000. But had I done my due diligence and our homework, I would have bought the whole block.
Mm-hmm.
I should have done.
Yep.
Okay, so then fast forward, we would buy maybe two or three a year. And then remember at some point in 2004 and 2005, everything just tripled and quadrupled.
Yep.
So what people were doing from D.C. and New York, they were coming over to Baltimore City and they were paying $300,000 and $400,000 for triplexes and duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't understand and realize that the rent market was not a D.C. or a New York City rent market.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay $300,000 and $400,000 for a property, but you couldn't get the rent. So what happened in 2006 and 7, 2008, and of course they couldn't get the rent, and so they were foreclosed upon.
Yeah.
So remember, I never wanted to, we started with triplexes and duplexes. I never wanted to purchase a single family home.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 2007 and 2008, they were 50 cents on a dollar.
Right.
So we were buying 4 and 5 per month.
Mm.
They went from 13,000. I think the most I paid was $67,000. And that was a 4-bedroom. That was a 4-bedroom detached property, huge yard. 2 central air conditioners, 3 floors, finished basement, and all of those. That's back in that time frame.
Wow.
So that's where we got the bulk of the single family properties. And then we got some more brownstones. We got some 6 and 7 unit apartment buildings at that time, all during that time frame where a lot of people lost. We were able to take advantage of that opportunity because we had the cash sit. We had the cash sitting at those time frames. Now, today, some of those same properties, as a matter of fact, I refinanced last year with 3% and 4% interest rates and took out and cashed out of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of those $13,000, those $40,000 apart are now worth $250,000. So that's the absolutely great thing about real estate, and it particularly rental real estate, is if you treat it properly and if you buy it in the right locations, then they can triple and they can quadruple. So not only are you investing for cash flow, for monthly cash flow, you're also getting tax write-offs. You're also getting appreciation. And people say you can't live off of appreciation. You absolutely can. Because as I said, I just took $1 million off. $1 million out, and then my monthly mortgages are still the same because I reduced them. I initially, when I purchased, they were at 5% and 6%, and I was able to get 3% or 4%. So that's what real estate investing and rental investing does for you.
Absolutely. And you still own the property, and that money, those proceeds you cashed out, are tax free.
Absolutely. And that's the difference when I tell my young people that do flipping and my young people that do wholesaling. What you want to do is you want to buy and you want to hold on to them. And we don't sell most of our properties. We don't sell. I did sell a couple last year because, as I said, they quadrupled in value. And they were in the neighborhood that I lived in, and I really didn't want any more rentals that right there in my immediate neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So something that I paid $55,000 for last year, I sold it for $350,000. Sold it for $350,000, and that was a couple of single family properties.
So how many houses are in your portfolio currently?
Right now, I have over 100, and that's just on the residential side, because we have two sides of us. On the residential side, which is our core, I have over 100 between the three states.
Wow.
And they range from single families to duplexes to triplexes to 6 and 7 units as well. And then as on our commercial side, we have partners. I'm in Patterson today, because we're building a 74-unit apartment building from the ground up for grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. We had to go back and to prove ourselves in Baltimore City, because we also did on the commercial side. We did quite a bit of that. I don't know if you know the Johns Hopkins area. We have rebuilt that area. It's called, it was called the Middle East at one point, but in the last, and we were in that deal for like seven years before we started to see any money. But it's a new hole that we built, 3 biotech laboratories. We built 34 and 39, a total of, 34, 39, a total of 75 townhomes, brand new, starting from 275 on up to $435,000. So in the Eager Street area. So doctors from all over, from Hawaii, bought those. And then what Hopkins did is they gave its employee $35,000 towards, and then they could also get additional monies if they were from first-time home buyers from the city. Mm-hmm. So some of them got even $50,000. So we sold those units within two or three days in partnership with Ryan Homes.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me talk about this project that you have in Patterson. So what made you come up with this idea to do this project specifically for grandparents raising their grandchildren?
Number one, you see, and I know in my church, there are so many grandparents that are raising their grandchildren as a result of drug abuse, mental health issues, the whole gamut, violence, victims of violence, gun shootings, and so forth. And so Baltimore, Patterson is a much smaller Baltimore city. And so we came back and we said, and we had heard of this, and I think there's one in DC, and we do have one in Baltimore City as well. So we said we had some land that the city had given us in Patterson, and we wanted to develop that. We wanted to do, we knew we wanted to do an apartment building. But remember, when you're developing, you have to have the buy-in of the city council, the planning board, the mayor, and the powers that be.
Right.
So we said, you know, if we do this, we think that it would be something that everyone would agree upon, and nobody would not turn that down. And that's exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, our project was the first in history where all 8 city council people voted yes to that. And then the mayor was excited about that. So we got HUD funding. We got $17 million from the state of New Jersey. We got additional project-based vouchers. We got additional home fund dollars and all of those things. And the key to that is the relationship. So what we did is, before we even presented the idea, we went before each and every city council person individually and told them beforehand, before it even got to go there. We also did it with the governor and with the mayor and so forth, and so that everybody was on board before we even started that. We also, there's a grandparents organization in the city. They feed the grandparents. They try to find them housing. So what we've done in the building is we've given them 2,000 square feet of space. They don't have to pay any rent whatsoever. All they have to do is to pay their monthly utilities. And then we're also providing them with a grant writer and then funding them $20,000 a year as well.
Man, that's amazing. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, telling them about development, how it's so like political, because you're building like a brand new building that's, you know, theoretically going to be there for 100 years plus.
That's
so
right.
You're really changing the landscape, and whatever you put there is going to have an impact in the community. So you got to get that political buy-in. So I love that story. You said you talked to every single council person individually to basically get their blessing.
And that's exactly what you're doing. And as a matter of fact, we're the first to do that, because there's a larger, we have a stadium here And so there are larger developers that were doing that. And they said to us, nobody has ever done that before. And so as a result of that one building, the next building, and we're almost done. We're waiting on the elevator is coming from China. The building is up itself. But of course, because of the pandemic and delays, we haven't gotten the elevator yet. So we're just waiting on that and a few things to occur. But as a result of that one building and that particular idea, the city of Newark has asked us to come in. The city of Orange, we're talking with, as a matter of fact, we're talking with Delaware from the state, somebody from the state of Delaware. We have a meeting with them this afternoon. And then we're going to be doing a veterans building right across the street from the one in Patterson. So all of that, and I say to you, become excellent at that one thing, and then all the other opportunities will avail themselves. So people are reaching out to us from all areas, and even as well as we're talking to a young man from South Carolina as well. And as we understand it, it's Florence, South Carolina, and they don't have any senior anything. So they're looking at it for that perspective as well.
This story is fascinating. And so you basically kind of chronicle your journey in a book that you wrote. It's called The Turning Point. So can you tell me about, you know, what made you decide to write that book and, you know, give us a little bit more in depth about what it's about?
Certainly. The reason I wanted to make the book The Turning Point is, and I was asked by Jack Canfield. So what it is, it is a compilation of 12 people from throughout the world, actually, because it's not just in the United States. And what he did is he asked us to chronicle, you know, what was the turning point in our lives and what made us do what we do. So I wanted to see, I wanted young people, young, and especially young Black American women to see that it doesn't matter where we come from. I am from the Christopher Columbus Projects in Patterson, New Jersey, building 4, apartment 15C on the 15th floor, where drug abuse, violence was the norm. The elevators were often broken. So we would have to drag both groceries and the laundry up 15 flights of stairs often. Many times, you know, it was dark in those stairways. The elevators were broken, and of course, the firemen had to come and rescue us quite often. I almost got raped on one of those elevators. In addition to that, remember I said it's low aim in Patterson. I didn't even attend my high school prom because I had a boyfriend that said, well, if you go, I really don't want to go to the prom. So I said, okay, if you don't want to go, I'm going to go with somebody else. Well, if you go with somebody else, then I'm going to take somebody else to it. So I did not go to my prom. And so oftentimes we put ourselves, we allow other people to dictate our lives for us. So I was supposed to marry him. I did not, and praise God, I did not marry, marry him, because here's what happened. We got engaged. We put all this was in the newspaper. He goes into the service. He comes back. Time for us to get married. And says he's not going to marry me. I co-signed for my own wedding ring. I gave it back to him. But guess what? I wind up paying for my own wedding ring. And he goes on and he marries somebody else, right? Not only did he marry somebody else, he married 3 times. All 3 of those wives died of AIDS, and he died of AIDS himself. So you tell me, that is my testimony. So I want the young women to see, I'm your mother, I'm your sister, I'm your auntie, I'm your niece, I could be some of your grandmothers. However, nothing that you've been through that I haven't been through, but I'm here to tell you, we can pick ourselves up. It doesn't matter where we start. It only matters where we, and life is a journey. So we have to pick ourselves up, keep on moving, set goals, and then we can reach those goals. But the thing is, I didn't believe in myself, and often too many of us don't believe in ourselves. And many of us, I'm a baby boomer. So remember, we came up in the 50s and 60s where we didn't have any role models mm-hmm. to tell us. I mean, I was a little nappy-headed little girl. Grandma and my sisters who were younger than me, I'm the oldest of six. I mean, they had the nice wavy long hair. And so grandma would take me in the living room and they prayed over my hair so my hair can grow. Now, what do you think that would do to a young girl's self-esteem?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they didn't know any better, right? But, you know, I was smart. I was always smart in school. I was an avid reader. You know, I was at the age of 6 years old. I was teaching other folks how to read. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. We moved to Patterson at the age of 12. Mm-hmm. So, and what it does is the book chronicles those things. And the turning point in my life was, number one, when I gave myself to the Lord at the age of 21. The second turning point is when I married my husband, and we've been together 43 years. Mm-hmm. We've been married, so it'll be 41. It'll be 42 years in June that we've been married together, 44 years. And how we've worked together and build a life and build a great life for us and our family. And we've been able to change our entire families, both sides of the family. We've been able to change the trajectory of our lives just by reading and just by doing. So you can read. Knowledge is only knowledge if you utilize that knowledge. So we read everything, and we're risk takers. So mm-hmm. we've taken risks. And it hasn't all been kumbaya, because we've lost quite a bit of money as well. We lost a great sum of money on a shopping center that we were actually trying to get into. And then we bought some land in Jacksonville, Florida, when the market turned. And we wind up, I was telling my young wholesaler that yesterday, because he was getting a down on himself. No, you can't get down on yourself, and you can't even think about the money that you lost. You just pick yourself up and keep on going. Because if you have a dream, and that's some of us, we don't have dreams, and we need to start dreaming. Not only dream, but dream big.
Yes.
And so if you're in it long enough, if you're persistent and you never give up, your dreams can absolutely come true. And then the other thing is build those relations and surround yourself with the right people. And sometimes you might have to lead people along. Mm. Not that you think you're any better than them, and then you always be there to help them.
Yep.
But everybody can't be poor. And even Jesus said, you know, poor is going to be with you always. In order for you to lift others up, you will have to have some wealth, or you will have to do some things differently than what you've done before.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you got to leave folks behind to be able to do exactly what you need to do, and then come back and get them, meet them
that's
where
right. they're at. That's right.
That's an amazing story. I really appreciate it. So that kind of leads me to the next question about, you have like a investing in a mindset group that you were telling me about before. You guys are taking trips to places all over the world and having retreats and whatnot. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
And yes, we do have a mastermind group. As a matter of fact, we just came back from April 15th. We just came back from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And that was our second quarter retreat. So our fourth quarter retreat was in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And that was in December, from December 8th. We did an entire week in December. And say, what we do is we come up with themes each and every year. Last year, 2022, it was Elevate Yourself. And so this year's 2023 thing is we got to push the envelope.
Yep.
First quarter was in Lagos, Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in January. So we just finished out. We went to Colombia in February. In March, we went to Houston. In April, as I said, we were in Jamaica. I'm going to be in Vegas on May 9th, Vegas and Houston again. And then in July, our third quarter retreat is going to be in the Bahamas. So what we do for 2 to 3 hours each morning, and typically we do anywhere from 5 days to 4 nights, unless it's a Dubai or a Lagos, then we do a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, if we don't do it this year, by the, it, we may do the fourth quarter, either Singapore or Ghana, for the fourth quarter retreat. And we invite anybody to come along, because it's not only, we have business people that come along that are own restaurants, that own hair salons, that own barbershop, and we can get together. And if there's some business problems that needs to be solved, then we can all talk, we talk about it. So we meet two, three hours in the morning, and then in the afternoon, you can, it depends upon how many people are with us. This in Jamaica, there was 12 of us this way, but we've had as many as 31 folks. So if you like to network and then establish your own relationship with folks, you absolutely can. Sometimes we have folks, I talked about HUD, we may have some friends or relatives that work for HUD, and we'll have them talk about real estate. We may have a wholesaler that will come and talk about real estate. We've had some flippers to come with us, and that's what we discussed. And then we talk a little bit about it, about everything, about business in general, about building relationships in general, because no matter what type of business that you're in, the foundations of business are can be applied to any type of business that you that you have.
Right. That's amazing. Even as many as 30 people, if you guys are together every day for 4, 5, 6, 7 days, like, you really develop a strong foundational relationship with those people.
So absolutely.
Work with, and, you know, forever.
That's right. And it's people, they're all African Americans. It's all people that look like us. And everybody is so amazed at, are you family, or are you, or what are you here for, and so forth. And as a result of that, I've gotten clients from Ghana. I've gotten clients from Canada as well, as a result of those meetings.
Love it. That's amazing. So what's next for you in real estate, in business, in your personal life? Anything you want to share with us?
What's next for me is we're continuing to grow. My husband handles the commercial side of it, and I do the financing and the package. As a matter of fact, we met with a young man from PNC on yesterday, and so we're looking at a 134 unit property in Baltimore City to do a loan, you know, with family, if we can do it, because this is this man that wants to get out of affordable housing. And so I want to say, everybody wants to do affordable housing, but what you have to understand is the material cost, the labor cost, and all of those things are exactly the same. What makes housing affordable is the grants and what we call the buy downs that you can get from HUD. Like, you can get your HUD money, your HUD dollars, your project-based vouchers, your home dollars, this money from the city and money from the state. So with a combination of those, that's what makes the housing affordable. And so if those things are not put into place, then you can't do affordable housing. That's why so many developers don't want to get into it. So this particular developer is into, it was an affordable housing property, and it's in a great area, not too far from Hopkins, but he's just tired of it. He's just want to get, he wants to get out of affordable housing. So his property in Harrisburg, his property in Newark, New Jersey, you and our partners, we're looking at with the partnership that we have with the grandparents, we're looking at doing that one together in Newark, New Jersey. So he just wants to get out. But he's been in it for so long, and I understand he owns some great stuff in Rockville, Maryland. The other thing that I'm looking at too is I went to, and you're always learning in real estate. I went to a conference for residential assistant living, because a lot of us baby boomers will be getting to age, and so as opposed to putting parents into nursing homes or even ourselves into nursing homes, I have quite a few 4 and 5 bedroom properties that I can turn into a residential assistant living, either by adding, and you know what they taught you is you can do from anywhere from 8 to 10 bedrooms, and then you get private pay or Medicare patients, and you can make up to $10,000 in cash flow from just one property. So I'm actually looking at looking at that as well in terms of for the side that I handle.
Wow, that's amazing. You're so multifaceted. I love it. I really appreciate it, especially like you said, like coming from really humble beginnings, you can really do anything you want as long as you surround yourself with the right people.
That's right.
You get the right mindset. You obviously are very deeply rooted in your spirituality, which I love as well. There's been so, based on this conversation, there's been so many instances where there was something in your life and God kind of took it away from you because it wasn't good for you and put you, you know, in position for something better. So I really appreciate
that. Absolutely. And the other thing is serving. Because when you serve, it comes back at you triple fold. So my life is, for right now, my mission is, I have another book that's coming out, and the title is either going to be Pocketbook Shoes, Housing You Choose, or Heels, Purses, Houses You Choose, because so many of us as African-American women said we don't have money. But when I look at the purses that you're paying $1,000 and $2,000 for somebody else's name, the $200 and $300 shoes that you're putting on your baby's feet, and the red bottom shoes and all those things that you're paying for. And there's, I'm not saying there's absolutely nothing wrong, because when you see me, I got 1,000 pair of shoes. But what I do is I let my houses and my assets pay for my shoes. I let my houses and my assets pay for the cars and the things that I want. So that's what I would love for us to learn, and especially as African-American women. I have two grown daughters and neither one of them are married. We have about 5 or 6 female doctors in my church. None of them are married. So what I want you to do is I want you to build a legacy, build some wealth for yourselves, as opposed to being consumers. Because if you look at us as an African-Americans, when you look at our net worth, we're even falling far behind, even the Hispanics. So I need us to step us up our game. And I'm out there to help you, along with many other women that are actually out there to help you. And we can pick up on so many of the other things, but we don't pick up when it comes to investing and to doing the things that's going to bring us long-term positive results. So my mission in life now is to get as many African-American women investing. And you may not want to be a landlord. There are so many other alternatives. As opposed to just being a landlord, you could do crowdfunding, you could buy real estate investment trust, you can buy mortgage notes, and all of these things are things that I do. And I did not learn that until I actually started the real estate investing and start putting myself out there and putting myself around the people that are doing those things. So we have to emulate success, and we're here to do that. So my next mission is to make sure that to help people, and even as far as the little babies and financial literacy in my church, what I did is we have a school called Hope Academy. So I did a talk with the school-aged children, and they were from the age of 5 years on up, because if we start them now, and all we have to do is start them with $25 a month and a fund and an index fund and leave it in there for 30, 40, 50 years, and we can have $1 million for them. Or by the time they're ready for school, we don't even have to worry about their college education, because we will have the money set in there. But we just have to get the mindset and expose them to those things. I mean, many of us, we never sat around the dinner table and talked about money.
Money was like an issue that you wanted to stay away from.
Absolutely. We never sat around the dinner table and talk about setting goals and talk about building your credit and your credit scores and things like that. So this is my mission in life for the rest of my life.
Oh my goodness. I appreciate you so much. You're like preaching right now, and it's not even Sunday. I could continue to talk to you like for hours, but I want to, you know, cut it short so it's digestible for this podcast. So I'm going to just transition to the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. It's four questions that I ask every guest. So let's jump right into it. What's your favorite book about real estate?
Well, it's not necessarily about real estate. Remember, I said, anything you learn business-wise, you can apply it to real estate. So right now, The Magic of Thinking Big. I want everybody to read that by David Schwartz. Please read that, because not only does it talk about thinking big, it gives you valuable suggestions as to how to think big and what you should be doing in every single area of life. So that is an excellent book, and it's classic. It's timeless. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of Think and Grow Rich, but it gives you solutions. It talks about how, but it also provides you with invaluable solutions as to doing it as well.
Oh yeah, I love that book. I read it a couple of years ago, but it's one of those where you pick it up again and you'll catch a whole bunch of things.
You pick it up again and again. Mm-hmm. I play it on Audible. I mean, I play it when I get down and out. Mm-hmm. I go right back to that book too. And if they want to, Barbara Corcoran has another one too. Is Shark Tales. How I Made $1 billion from $1,000. That's because she's a real estate person as well.
Yep, great book. Okay, second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self when you were just getting started with your real estate career?
As I said earlier, I tell many of my young folks now, everybody want to jump into something big. You crawl, you walk, and you run. Mm-hmm. And then do your homework, do your due diligence. Remember I said I had not done my due diligence about rents in the area. You want to find out if it's something, whatever it is you want to get into, just do a little bit of homework. And you guys are just lucky. You got to remember back in 1987, there was no internet. There was no bigger pockets. There was none of these things. So now you have the world in front of you. So take advantage of it. With AI coming along now, you can enter the information that you want and it will spit it out for you. So do your homework and do your due diligence, whether or not it's real estate or whatever business that you want to get into.
Love it. Okay. Third question is, what topic in real estate do you personally want to learn more about?
As I said to you a little bit earlier, the residential assistant living. Mm-hmm. I'm delving into that quite a bit right now.
Awesome. And so the last one's not really a question, but can you give a shout out to another woman in real estate?
I absolutely can. Catherine McGill of Baltimore City, who is one of my young mentees. Catherine can flip a house and has no problem selling a $500,000 and $600,000 house in Baltimore in a week or less. And mm-hmm. she's still doing it even in today's market. So Catherine McGill, shout out to you for being, and she was able to quit her job in 2 years. So she now does, not only does she do flipping, but she does consultations and she does staging. So remember, you want to have at least seven strings of income. Most billionaires have seven strings of income or multiple strings of income. And she's done that and has done a wonderful job at it. I was the chairman for the Baltimore Real Estate Investment Organization and held their women's meeting, the women's portion of it. So what I've done, we flip, because what you have to do is you got to bring somebody young along. So we flip positions. I've given her the honor of being the chairman and I'm her co-chair, and she's doing an absolutely fabulous job.
Love it. Really appreciate it. So how can people get in contact with you?
They can contact me at janet@thecashflowdiva.com, or you can my website is www.cashflowdiva.com.
Okay. Do you have any more words of wisdom for everyone listening?
Listen to this podcast, and I thank Jessica for having me on once again. And I don't take any of this for granted. You know, I appreciate her for having me on and putting me in front of her listeners. And so once again, if it's anything that you want to do, you can absolutely do it if you believe in yourself. And if I can be of any assistance to any of you, just to take advantage of the URL, or you can inbox me at janet@thecashflowdiva.com. I'll try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours. And if I can't help you, I tell you I can't help you.
Love it. I really appreciate this conversation. I mean, this was like super uplifting for me. Everything you were talking about, just, you know, being able to kind of just pick yourself up and do whatever you want. And you're living this amazing, fabulous life. You're able to serve others. You're able to impact your community. And obviously all of that benefit is coming back to you to be able to just have an amazing life. So I really appreciate this conversation for you taking the time to come on the show and just you being an awesome person in general.
So thank you, and let's keep in touch.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so we'll wrap this up here. Again, this is the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. Thank you so much to my guest, Ms. Janet Tonkins, just killing the game in real estate in Patterson and Baltimore. Now she's down in Atlanta. She's got her mastermind group traveling all over the world and just impacting lives. Really appreciate you. So thank you so much, and we will catch you on the next one.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.